The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, a happy hour indeed. It's Trump Eve, Dom, the calm before the storm.
He is the storm. Just ask him. He'll tell you.
He's coming to Waukesha, Wisconsin, the Wow County. Not as wow as it used to be, Dom. Waukesha, wow. Zaki in Washington County used to be where all the white flight went. And they used to be the most reliably Republican counties in America. America, I tell you. And Trump's coming to the Waukesha Expo Center. And this is a bigger venue than the wedding chapels he's been going to of late, Tom. They're actually letting credentialed press like myself into the event.
Ooh, fancy.
But I'm really there for the MAGA. You know, I want to ask the MAGA some questions, Tom. And I did ask you, our fair audience, and you can join us on the air at 844-967-2789. That also works for the text line. And here are a few of the text suggestions. WMDX texter says, I should ask the MAGA on the street, would you vote for a convicted rapist? Question mark. Thought it was sexual batterer, and that was just a civil action.
Like the nomenclature allowed by the judge in that case, that rape was the proper term.
Kurt from Madison, Texan, cute. I think he's talking to me. I'm the cute one. Cute, or perhaps he meant crudy. Ask them, does your head hurt from being that stupid?
Oh, that'll get you far.
Well, you know, if I want to get
married. I want you to go to, make sure you, front row Joe, whoever the front row Joe is, you, that's where you start, Curdy, and you go back from there, man.
Here,
wait, when we were back traveling around back, was this 2015, I guess, when Trump was doing all the 2016, he was going around. It was just a show, right? We saw those kids in Wisconsin. They're so excited. They just couldn't wait till they have hear Trump bash on Hillary. It was like going to a wrestling, all-star wrestling meet, you know, WWE kind of style. It was all about the show. But we did find folks that literally went to every single rally, started seeing people over and over and over again. Not just the participants, those that would go to the rally themselves, the vendors too, man. I mean, they're following this summer. They know where the money's at. Follow the Trump around, the megas, they will buy all the gear, as evidenced by all the flags you see everywhere. Tell me you're not a cult without telling me you're in a cult. When all the flags are on, I never saw, you don't see Biden flags, you don't see Obama flags or Clinton flags or Bush flags. What is it about you megas and this cult with all the stupid flags?
Dom, I will readily admit, I did buy a framed hope poster with Obama. Is that too much to have hope? Does that make me in a cult, Dom?
You no know, hope for you. There is no hope, Crudy. Only pain. Now give me money.
Very, very little hope. One of the interesting things about the cavalcade of vendors that followed the Trump show around, although sort of infrequent visits here of late, they don't have to kick back. I'm wondering, how does Trump miss out on the parking lot grift? They're not sharing. I've asked individual vendors, hey, man, who do you got to pay? We don't. We just show up. Every time, every town. That's what they
unlike do. Any of the down ticket Republicans who would use Trump's name or likeness, now has to kick up to, you know, the Trump campaign slash legal fund in order to do so. That's Trump's new idea.
Dana from La Crosse, God's country, did ask on the text line, I wonder if Vegas has any odds on whether or not Trump will actually attend Barron's graduation.
Mm-hmm.
And Steady Eddie, who's been chastising me, but today's your turn, Dom.
Oh, Eddie, come on, man.
Dom, I think thou doth protest too much. You sound like a guy addicted to marijuana. Wait, he does make some good points here. You have not addressed how society deals with high drivers. What is the field test for drivers under the influence of marijuana? If you can't discern it, they can drive. That would be my field test. You know, if there's some random act of bad driving you get pulled over for, that's the problem. But if you can't tell if a guy's high, then he's not high enough that it's a problem, as far as I'm concerned. Field test. But anyways, I interrupt. Field test for drivers under the influence of marijuana. And no cops care about that. How much do we tax marijuana? You know, enough. I say it should fully pay for all the damage it does to society. Health consequences, traffic accidents.
What health consequences? What traffic accidents, man? Okay, fine. Fair enough, Steady Eddie.
But I'll let you respond to this topic.
Whatever he's got, and I'll apply it to alcohol.
Before you do, here's what he says. Alcohol is not taxed nearly enough to pay for all the damage it does to society. Certainly not here in the state of Wisconsin. I'm agreeing with you, Eddie. Are you calling for a higher tax on tequila? The latest is that alcohol does no good, only harm to one's health. Alcohol is not taxed. I have never heard you call for a higher tax on alcohol. Crudy has. I don't know if Dom ever has. All caps, like Trump yelling at you. If you are for a higher tax on alcohol, start shouting it on the airwaves every time you talk about marijuana legalization.
I disagree with the premise, and tax rates are what tax rates are. As a consumer and one who spends money, I prefer lower tax rates on everything. But I recognize that we need to raise revenue, number one, and we use the tax system as a, you know, dissuading certain behaviors. Look at taxes on nicotine, for example, at least on cigarettes. I'm not sure what the smokeless tobacco is like.
Oh, it's getting
beyond
pretty
all
steep.
Of that, beyond all of that. If alcohol is the absolute worst, we actually have some medicinal purposes for cannabis. We know this. At least they're acknowledging it. The DEA or the HHS and FDA are acknowledging that. Then by that logic, alcohol should be, I don't know, prohibited. Let's call it prohibition. But we already did that, dude. And that didn't work out very well. Because what happens, people still going to want what people want. Period. So what you do, you end up throwing it underground. You get your bathtub gin, you fund the gangs and the mob, man. That's what happens. But if it's legal and taxed, depending on the tax rate, that's up for discussion, certainly, and regulated. Well, then it's a different spot. It brings it into the light. It makes the dealers actual businessmen and women. You know what I'm saying? So, no, man, if alcohol is legal, weed should definitely be legal. If anything, weed should be legal and alcohol should be a Schedule I drug.
It would be a Class E narcotic, my understanding, alcohol, if newly classified, if it wasn't already grandfathered in. There is a PS from Steady Eddie, and he does send you a shaded emoji. PS, I'm tired of paying for the drug abuse in our society. I'm tired of paying for the weapons of war for our society and I'm tired of paying for the oil corporations.
The people that have too many cheeseburgers or eat too many candy bars. Hey. Hey, that's what I'm saying. I mean, everything we do in our lives has some sort of reaction to it. Unless you're going to sit around and eat, you know, tofu and greens and do your jogging and your calisthenics every single day and no one gets anything and there's no individualism and you can't have that buzz or this buzz because you don't like it, man, where are we going to stop, dude? That gets to be a little too much.
Spoken like a true marijuana addict.
Yeah, come on, man. All right.
Everybody knows Bob Saget's take on this.
Yeah. Okay. I won't go there then. If you know it, then I won't go there. It's hard to say what Bob Saget said in Half Baked. So we'll just get back to the Lions. 844-967.
Effectively, he said you cannot be addicted to marijuana. It's not that sort of a compulsion that would force you to do things that
gets up and says, hey, my name is whatever his name was, and I'm addicted to marijuana. And the crowd who was saying this at this meeting go, everyone's like, what? Addicted to marijuana? Marijuana's not a drug. I used to perform oral sex in random places with strangers for cocaine.
I thought we weren't even going there.
Did you ever do that for weed?
No,
I can't say I have. Didn't think so. That's an addiction.
You know, if I could strike two, I blame you. 844-967-2789. Wisco Paul, welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
Hey, Paulie.
Good afternoon, Devils. It's probably more dangerous drinking the water in its state with all forever chemicals in that.
Well, there's no danger in it, but you're going to glow for years.
Well, it's true when it causes cancer and all kinds of other things. I got one quick question for you, Cootie, and then I'll do the rest of my diatribe here. You say you have a place up by Wautoma? Is that where you're?
Like 15 minutes from Wautoma.
Yeah, okay. I go up there a couple times a month. I meet a friend, and we go to the Silver Crest on Silver Lake. It's really a cool area up there. I really love it up there. So now my diatribe is there is no way Trump can get out of this trial a free man. I can't see how unless the jury is rigged. I mean, if you listen
I don't even like that language. It's not a rigged jury. It's the compelling nature of the evidence that's going to lead to a Trump conviction, I think. We haven't seen the defense's case yet, but I think the prosecutor's well on their way. But having said all that, Paulie, they're not going to throw his ass in jail, not right away. He will not go to jail, do not collect $200. It probably would be a delayed reaction. But I am encouraged each and every day when I wake up knowing Peter Navarro's on the other side.
You know, he also, Trump did try to get his case thrown out again today and to get Judge Mershon to recuse. He was denied by the appeals court again with no comment. You can't blame a guy for trying, but he gets a break tomorrow coming to Wisconsin. Trial resumes on Thursday. We resume after this break, 844-967-2789. To the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open. Going there shortly at 844-967-2789.
Let's go to the phones. I believe Mark, the most patient today so far. Welcome, Mark. What do you got for us?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, guys. I just have been reading this book called 1493 about the post-Columbian exchange, about how tobacco, you know, kind of just invaded the world back at that point in time. Within 100 years, I mean, there's people around the world who are addicted to tobacco, and apparently it was highly addicted, so addictive people were tearing out their crops in, let's say, China, and planting tobacco rather than planting food crops. I mean, so under that logic, I mean, maybe tobacco never should have been legalized, because maybe it was a different strain back then, but it was highly psychoactive and highly addictive even back then, you know, that's more than you can say about cannabis, because, you know, cannabis is not a drain on the soil the way tobacco is, and that it's probably less harmful than good old nicotine.
Well, Americans used to be encouraged to grow hemp for the rope-like qualities of the cannabis plant because they needed them in the war efforts, Mark. Once upon a time, Wisconsin was a huge hemp production state.
And it produces nice cloth. You can actually produce a very nice, you know, either a really durable cloth, or you can produce, you know, nice, comfortable, you know, soft, easy to wear clothes with hemp.
I mean, and you know what I hear? They produce flowers that if smoked create a nice euphoric effect for some consenting adults.
Yes, and it is quite enjoyable when you have that desire to do so.
Well, isn't, and Mark, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if it wasn't tobacco, of course, when the colonies has started here in the States, Spain was a big provider of tobacco. And when they had basically a monopoly for a long time on the tobacco trade. And of course, I mean, tobacco was a huge, obviously a huge trade product.
It was a huge trade product because it traded around the world. And apparently the tobacco grown by the Indians in the Virginia area, you know, Chesapeake Bay area, was not a very, very tasty substance, but I guess they imported the seeds from the Caribbean that apparently was, you know, sweet and sweet smelling compared to the stuff that the North American natives had.
Right, but, or we could compare it to like ditchweed versus, you know, the good skunk buds, man. That's similar to that.
My mind had already gone there, and it's of its own pretense, or I guess just of its own volition. Making up words again.
844-967-2789.
Because my mind was wandering.
Dick from Madison. Welcome, Dick. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dick.
Hey, guys. My question to him would be, how in this horrible inflationary Biden economy do you still find discretionary income to buy tennis shoes, old rotten pillows from a friend of his, and also pay for his legal bills? Where does that money come from?
That's a great question, Dick. I think Crudy should ask that.
Is that for the MAGA supportive?
Yes, that's for the Trump crowd tomorrow, Crudy.
So let me make sure I got all that. Like, how is he paying his legal bills?
Well,
and how much have you contributed?
In this horrible economy, they constantly complain about this inflationary economy that Biden's created, and they have no income, discretionary income left.
That wasn't us, Dick.
Wasn't me. Sorry, Dick.
Pay the phone bill, fella. Apparently the inflation got to Dick.
with is how terrible everything is right now. How can you possibly, you know, carve yourself some time out, take away from your job to put, you know, food on the table of your family to come here and support the rapist in chief and buy the overpriced tennis shoes and the F Biden flags and the Let's Go Brandon flags.
And the Bibles.
Well, you gotta, and I guess, you know, maybe Dick, the answer is, well, I mean, when you're a believer, you know, God will bless you and you'll eventually get that back somehow.
It's an investment in a Lee Greenwood, Donald Trump, co-branded, God Bless America Bible, including the U.S. Constitution.
I mean,
the Declaration of Independence, and for Eric Hudvey, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Amen. 844-967-2789. I want to throw this one out there. We can talk about this as well on the other side. A big piece in Time Magazine today, posted it up on the Devil's Advocate's Facebook page. You can find it there. We're not going to read the whole thing, but I got a little breakdown here I want to relay with you. Perhaps this can be a basis for some questions for you, Crudy.
Okay. According to taking notes. Barely let my mind wander at all.
Hardly at all. What emerged in two interviews with Trump and conversations with more than a dozen of his closest advisors and confidants were the outlines of an imperial presidency that would reshape America and its role in the world. To carry out a deportation operation designed to remove more than 11 million people from the country, Trump told me he would be willing to build migrant detention camps and deploy the U.S. military.
Internment
both
camps.
At the border and inland. He would let red states monitor women's pregnancies and prosecute those who violate abortion bans. He would, at his personal discretion, withhold funds appropriated by Congress, according to top advisors. He'd be willing to fire a U.S. attorney who doesn't carry out his order to prosecute someone breaking with the tradition of independent law enforcement that dates from America's founding. He is weighing pardons for every one of his supporters accused of attacking the U.S. Capitol on January 6th.
The Patriots!
More than 800 of whom who have pleaded guilty or been convicted by a jury. He might not come to the aid of an attacked ally in Europe or Asia if he felt that country wasn't paying enough for its own defense. He would gut the U.S. civil service, deploy the National Guard to American cities as he sees fit, close the White House Pandemic Preparedness Office, and staff his administration with acolytes who back his false assertion that the 2020 election was stolen. There's your Trump platform. There's your policy.
You know, whatever you can run up the flagpole. It was interesting. Rachel Maddow last night, I believe it was Maddow, had voters, Republicans, at a Republican convention setting the platform. No endorsement there in the gubernatorial race or something very, very upsetting to the attendees. But what did these people do? I'm going to think hard. Let my mind wander.
If I recall, Curdy, I remember seeing some things that people were not very fond of democracy.
Well, they wanted to move away from democracy because it seemed to uplift the Democratic Party in some way, shape, or form. So sort of as a word exercise, they encouraged replace democracy with republicanism. And of course, they were against democracy. More devils.
The devil's advocates. Sausage making never looks so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Tuesday edition, a happier happy hour rolling through it. Dom, I've got to admit, I did have a wandering mind there for a minute, and I appreciate you bringing me back to reality and helping me center myself in the anti-democratic thoughts of some of the mega supportive last night that I saw in the Rachel Maddow, and they were out of Washington State. But Trump's coming to Waukesha, and I'm going to ask some questions. We've been getting some recommendations, let's just say, on the text line. Questions for the MAGAs. Here's one from the Chuckster. Just to ask the MAGA faithful open-ended questions like, tell me about yourself, or tell me what you believe in. Let the Trumpsters just ramble on. Other good questions. Ever driven one of those rascal motorized scooters? Do you have all of your teeth? Here's another texter into the WMDX line. I believe it's Lynn. Ask, would you let Trump babysit your kids? Here's another one. Would you vote for a man that has said publicly that he would have sex with his daughter? And Steady Eddie chiming in again on the text line. Here's, you know, sort of the conclusion. Were you born stupid or did you have to work at it? Someone's going to get my ass kicked tomorrow if I take some of these suggestions. I might be crossing lines, Dom.
You'll be fine, Crudy. Honestly, one of your better skills is being, you know, nice and letting people talk in those kinds of situations. You're much more civil than I am in those scenarios.
I know. I just get a bad reputation because some people don't know me as well as you do.
Yeah. It's not you. It's just the people you hang out with, Curdy.
844.
Talking to you, Rich.
844-967-2789. Dave from Madison. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Excellent.
Good.
I want to respond to Dick. Our friend Dick called in, and he talked about how you believe Biden's responsible for inflation. I just want to explain to Dick that it has nothing to do with Joe Biden. Inflations typically occur because of supply-side shocks. After World War II, you know, we had to transfer our manufacturing to wartime production. And that was a huge supply side shock because they weren't producing consumer goods. So we had, in that case, over about 20% inflation. 1973 oil price shock, same thing. 1979, when our favorite guy, the billionaire Ayatollah, took over Iran, another massive oil price shock.
And of course, the COVID pandemic was a hell of an excuse, Dave. But I think there's been greedflation going on. I think there's been people. Corporations, and there's a lot of monopolies out there in the world that control different sectors.
Yeah, hello?
Yes, Steve.
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah, no question about it. The oligopolization of just about every sector of the world economy, because we don't we don't enforce our antitrust laws, and they're extremely weak anyway, has definitely, it was ignited by, I think, a supply shock, but it definitely took off because of that oligopolization and exactly, you have the term exactly right, greedflation. In addition, this is a worldwide phenomenon, and if you want to blame Biden, blame him for the lower inflation that we had relative to other countries.
Dave, you make excellent points, and you sound like a very educated guy. Here's one other point I would make. Dick was being a smartass.
He certainly was, yes.
So there was some, you know, a healthy dose of sarcasm mixed in with the question. So I don't think Dick thinks that Bidenomics or the inflation is the result of Biden's policies. I think Dick wants me to use that as a talking point to go get the MAGA faithful to admit that both can't be true. You can't both be broke and then also fund Trump's legal fees and whatever the case may be. So that's where I'm going to leave it for now, Dom.
Yeah, but doesn't take away from your very solid points, Dave, over the history and the circumstances that we find ourselves in right now. And I think all you got to do is look at some of the quarterly returns from some of the members of the different oligarchies in the different industries. I mean, when the volume of sales goes down, the profitability goes up. You know, why is that? Well, they raise the prices. That's why. They're very profitable. And the good news is, Dave, I mean, you can cash in on the oligarchy, man, because you can buy stock in every single one of these corporations.
Hell, even Truthy Social's up this week, defying all expectations. Yeah. So Trump's not having a terrible week due to stock price so far. Couple of more recommendations, because I'm going to the Trump rally for at least a bit. I'm there mostly to meet the MAGA on the street. You know, do some man on the street sort of interview stuff. That's one of my strengths. And from a WFHR listener named Tyler, here's a question to ask. Did you need help getting out of your straitjacket? See, that kind of stuff's going to get me punched in the nose, Tyler. I try to avoid the directly pointed questions. I try to sort of amble up on them. I'm going to wear a red hat similar to this. Maybe Badger, maybe Devil's Advocates. Who knows?
Who knows?
As long as it's red.
A lot of red hats there. You're going to blend right in.
And then our trash texting attorney, day drinking buddy, Jeff from Shorewood. Crudy, just remember, it only takes one MAGA idiot to sneak onto the jury. And hold out. I always love those guys at my trials, but I worry about the Trump trial. I have been of the opinion the prosecution's doing an excellent job so far. In fact, my understanding is they were even laughing. The jurists were laughing at the testimony being given earlier today, the reading aloud of the text messages. Apparently, they found them humorous. A texter says, I would not let Trump pet sit my carnival goldfish. Yes. And Cam from Nina says, I've watched enough interviews online that I'm concerned about how we solve the mental health crisis by these folks who are pro-MAGA and anti-science. And for F's sake, can people stop saying president controls the gas prices? Yeah, that's the Illuminati, Dom.
Right. What are we thinking?
Here's one. Ask, do you like movies with gladiators?
Yeah. You hang around the gymnasium?
Have you ever seen a grown man naked? Thank you for those contributions, Mr. Bill. What else? Well, that's a good mix of what's out there on the text line at the moment. I'm glad the people are active and engaging. You know, some of these I can work with, and other of these are going to get my ass handed to me tomorrow at the Trump rally.
You generally just don't want to walk up and insult someone to their face right off the bat. You got to, you know, warm them up to it and then, you know, slide it in a little bit if the opportunity presents itself. But I think there are genuine questions to ask the MAGA faithful, like for reals. Did Joe Biden win a free and fair election? I mean, that's always the standby. What proof do you have that the Wisconsin election was stolen? You know, Donald Trump said X, Y, or Z. There's no proof of this. What do you think? You know, those kinds of things. Because I feel bad because I know some folks, if this is your level of engagement, we talk about all the Trump rallies that you and I have gone to in the past, Crudy. And back in 16, it was a big joke. It was a big party. It was a bowl. Let's go, you know, lock her up. And oh, this is fun.
Crooked media
games. Yeah. Crooked media. All the, well, I mean, I think it's a little different now. We've seen the result of that attitude. I'm wondering if, you know, the Trump fans and the Trump faithful, the MAGAs, or those that would, you know, lean conservative, if they have any objective thoughts about what their leader has done. What is the one thing Donald Trump has not done that you think he should have done? Or what did Donald Trump do that he should not have done? You know, those kinds of things. If there is anything, I'd like to find out one thing from the MAGA, like any consensus that Donald Trump did X, Y, and Z, he should not have done that. I'm very curious about that.
Because tweets too much. Right? That's what every Republican, congressman, senator, politician. Right. Well, I think he tweets too much. But I agree with all his policy choices, which currently he's advocating, and I'm sure he will in Waukesha tomorrow when Trump comes to town, you know, on break from his hush money trial, the voter deception trial, as I prefer to call it. But anyways, let's get back to the phones.
But this is real, man. We're talking about, what was the Time magazine? He's going to have internment camps. He's going to release the U.S. military into this country, put them on the border, and have camps even on the interior as well to forcibly deport 11 million, as is recorded or recited in the Time magazine article today. Well, I mean, come on, man. What industries are you going to decimate were that to be successful? If you could just magically, you know, pluck every worker in this country who is not here on a legal basis and take them out of those positions. What's going to happen to the dairy farmers in the state of Wisconsin? What's going to happen to the meat packing, the slaughterhouses, all the jobs that the immigrants are doing? What's going to happen on the bridge in Baltimore when guys are filling potholes at 3 o'clock in the morning with all Spanish names? You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of jobs and a lot of things that need to get done in this country that folks in the immigrant population are doing. And we need them to do that. If you magically snap your fingers and everyone disappears, you're going to shut down the dairy industry in the state of Wisconsin, certainly, and probably California.
Can I make a brief observation?
Sure.
When you say doing, you sound like Obama.
In what regard? I don't understand why. What? Doing?
The way you said it, you sound like Barack Obama. Yes, you sound like Barack Obama.
Well, maybe Barack Obama sounds like me. You're welcome.
844-967-2789. Whenever I think great presidents, Barack Obama.
Oratory skills.
You are a soaring orator.
You.
I'm going to try and move some hearts and minds this weekend. I'm at the Wisconsin Grassroots Network Festival. Their 15th anniversary, Lawrence University, wow. Appleton. Come
Miles
see me.
Stomping grounds, man. College Avenue, baby. Tear it up.
You know, there's three bars for sale on College Avenue. If you're looking for a second career, we could, you know, each have a Crudy bar, a Dom bar, and a Rich bar. Come to your favorite bar. One only serves tequila. One serves lots of beer and double captains. Rich, what are you serving?
Craft beer.
Craft beer.
Yeah, craft Tons beer, yeah.
Well, then
yeah,
we'll let you handle that. I'll do mixers, and Dom can do shooters of tequila.
Straight booze, baby. Oh, don't forget the scotch. We like the scotch.
844-967-2789. Then we'll get kickbacks from, the Tavern League. And having said that, at the, you know, chastening of Steady Eddie, and we would advocate for the raising of the alcohol tax.
Yeah, there you go, Eddie. You're welcome.
844-967-2789. Annie from Watertown. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hi, Annie.
That's good luck to that guy, the potential candidate. He said he was going to go to the Tavern League for support for pro-pot legislation. You know, and it's like they're the ones that really are against it.
I've heard that's not true. Our friend Alan Robinson said it's not specifically the Tavern League, but I'll let you continue, Annie.
Uh-huh. before I get to what I was going to say, the other guy talking about inflation, you can always hit him up on the greedflation. You know, 60% of the inflation was attributed to corporations just being greedy, and right. The Republicans blocked. So what's Biden supposed to do? Well, he can't do anything, but Congress could have, and he tried to get them to do it, and they blocked it. But there's something you could ask them about. Remember that people were always accusing Obama followers of looking at him as a messiah and whatever, and, you know, try to get him on the comparison to that. It's like, boy, you know, do you think, and you know, I had one, now I forgot it. Good comparison of how they're, I mean, I didn't see anybody working for Obama that was treating him like a messiah, but you certainly see these Trump supporters treating him like a messiah.
You know, thank you for your call, Annie. I have been to multiple Barack Obama rallies. First time I ever saw him before he was elected president in Madison. Girls were fainting in the room. At Trump rallies, old geezers having heart attacks.
It's hot.
Come back. More Devil's Advocates. We're always hot.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, our last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit us up right now, 844-967-2789. Crudy, I want to jump in here. I don't know if you got something, you can hold off for 1 minute, but ABC News reporter.
My mind is wandering, but please continue.
I know it's easy for you. ABC News reporting on the trial today. And here's what they had to say. We briefly mentioned this, but I thought I'd bring some further context to the audience. Following Keith Davison's testimony about the deal between Karen McDougal and AMI. Now, Davison was McDougal's attorney at the time. The prosecutor, Joshua Steinglass, turned to the topic of Davison's representation of Stormy Daniels. Davison recounted a conversation he had in 2011 with Cohen after a blog first posted a story about the Trump and Stormy Daniels affair allegations. Again, this is back in 2011. First, he said he got a call from Daniels' talent manager, Gina Rodriguez. Quote, the blog post had published, and apparently I was informed that Gina had received a phone call from Michael Cohen, Davison testified. Gina called me up to tell me that some jerk called me and was very, very aggressive and threatened to sue. And I would like you, Keith, to call this jerk back, Davison recounted Gina told him. I hate to ask it in this way, but who is that jerk? Prosecutor Steinglass asked Davison. Michael Cohen, Davison said. Davison did say, said he called Cohen back and proceeded to tell the jury about the call. Quote, it was to the Trump Organization. I called and was transferred to Michael Cohen. I introduced myself, and before I could barely get my name out, I was just met with a hostile barrage of insults and insinuations and allegations that went on for quite a while. In the courtroom, both Trump and his attorney, Todd Blanche, appeared to laugh as Davison continued with his description of Cohen. He was upset that the story on had just published, and he believed Stormy Daniels was behind the story. What'd you tell him? Steinglass, the prosecutor, asked. Finally, after he finished, I explained that I was calling because my client, Stormy Daniels, did not want the story published, and I wanted to see if he had done anything to contact as take the story down. Davison said he subsequently sent a cease and desist letter and successfully got the post taken down. So the mannerisms and the way that David Cohen addressed Davison, Stormy Daniels' attorneys, apparently was a big chuckle for Trump and his attorney. And I get it, because you can see Cohen coming off as just this outright brash dude, right? Certainly. But what does that relay to the jury? You know, when they're telling the story about how Cohen has not yet testified, and this is all kind of being laid out, the path that Cohen will eventually take will already have been, you know, confirmed by those who testified before him with perhaps a better credibility. But I think it gives a sense of this camaraderie between Cohen and Trump. It shows that they're pals and they're buddies, and they like this kind of behavior. I think it reinforces the relationship. So, I mean, other than sitting there and being quiet and slowly dozing off, I'm not sure you know, engaging in the laughter is going to do you any favors with the jury when you're trying to what separate yourself from the fraudulent Michael Cohen.
844-967-2789. Still looking for the last opinion of the day. Works on the text line or the phone line. Here are a few more of the texters. People suggesting questions I could ask at the Trump rally tomorrow. This one I really like, and why this obvious question didn't jump out, I don't know. I guess I'm dumb. Who should Trump pick as his VP? That seems like an obvious question, but we may get some, let's just say, off-the-cuff answers, Tom.
But also, I mean, what about, like, have you ever shot your dog? Would be a good question.
Here's another excellent question. Don't you people have jobs?
Don't you have homes?
Tom from Madison wants me to ask the Trump supportive, do you know what a write-off is, Jerry? I'm not clear that many of them would, not accurately, but who really does? It's really whatever the IRS does not contend or challenge. I mean,
Now, Trump has said they did not write off, right? Trump said he did not write off the Stormy Daniels payment.
Correct.
But I'm still not clear if that was Trump personally or if that was Trump organization or one of the LLCs. I don't know. You know,
it's not exculpatory in any context because it shows state of mind. It shows knew you had to hide it from the government because you were breaking the law, and Trump, this cheap SOB, wanted the write-off, but of course could not take the write-off. But the fact that he's bragging about it didn't exonerate anyone.
No, and I'm still curious to know if that actually happened. I mean, the man lies about lots of things. He could be lying about that as well.
Here's another excellent suggestion of what Crudy should ask the MAGA on the street tomorrow in Waukesha when they come down for the Trump rally. Ask them if they voted for Bernie in the 2016 primary. And I'm being serious. I've always wondered how many there are that switched from Bernie to Trump as a protest of the DNC and the nomination of Hillary, and then they switched Republican permanently. Bernie and Trump are both populist, and it would be interesting to see if there are any policy parallels, well, policy on Bernie's side, rhetoric on Trump's, that they like from Bernie and the Dems. Yes, many, many great suggestions.
I would think this one as well, Curdy. How many presidential elections have you voted in? We got a lot of folks that came out of from under the woodwork when Trump came around, right? Perhaps Scott Walker rustled them first, and then Donald Trump picked them up. We got a lot of new voters out there.
Here's a good one. Ask the MAGA how they feel about rescheduling marijuana, and if they're down for it, then ask them if they want to go smoke one with me after the rally. One last question. Annie from Watertown. Why do you think his family doesn't support him? Well, because he cheated on the wife and he skipped the rest
Eric
of their graduations.
The least favorite son Eric was in court today. That's what I heard.
You should have broken that news earlier. We could have talked about it. Rich, thank you. Thank you all for listening. I'll be at Trump tomorrow. I hope you tune in. It'll be a fine hump day indeed.